Dart Frog.
Hey there, folks. We're back. It's time for another episode of Not Your Mother's Goose. Our songs and ad specials are complete, though if you missed them, make sure to go back and check those out. But we're on to brand new stories, news, sponsors, and more. I'm Topher Goggin. Coming up today, we're off to see the Wizard, the one in Oz, not Mr. Wizard on Nickelodeon in 1986. We'll also find out where Dumbo is signed as a free agent when we check the news, catch some tunes at the Frogapalooza Music Festival, and then get some music of our own when Andrew Mitchell cranks up Rapunzel's jukebox and pairs the tortoise and the hare with Dion. Before we get started, remember you've still got a chance to stop by notyourmothersgoose.com and sign up for the Goose Droppings newsletter, which will get you entered to win our latest drawing for all kinds of great goose crap, including the Not Your Mother's Goose book, the coloring book, a shirt, some greeting cards. Stacy from Louisiana won last month, and we'll draw again at the end of May. If you happen to be listening to this after that, we'll probably have another drawing in June, so go ahead, don't be shy, you can still sign up. With that, we've got a long trip ahead of us, so let's get this show on the road. The Wizard of Oz. Our story begins in long ago Kansas. Like, we're talking back before Kansas lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament every year, despite being a two seed. There we meet a girl named Dorothy Windstorm, or something like that, who lives on the farm with her aunt and uncle, along with her little dog Toto, who's best known for his hit song about Africa. After the dog bites Dorothy's uppity neighbor, this Elvira Gulch gets an order from the sheriff that's a bit more Rainbow Bridge than Yellow Brick Road, if you get my drift. Now, Toto escapes from Elvira and runs back to Dorothy, who decides the best plan would be to hit the road before Ms. Gulch and the Sheriff of Nottingham return. That plan fails faster than my dreams of becoming a pro football kicker died when I couldn't clear a 6-foot fence from a distance of 11 yards. Dorothy runs into a Professor Marvel, who seems destined for a career with Dionne Warwick's Psychic Friends Network, and says that Auntie M wants her at home, so she and Toto beat feet back to the farm. Unfortunately, the prof forgot to include a weather forecast in his predictions, leaving Dorothy unaware that her house is about to be picked up by a twister. She rides it out, quite literally, waking up to find that the trip has taken her all the way to Oz and dropped the house on a lady with some nice socks. I'd like to see how this claim plays out with her homeowner's insurance, but we'll save that for another time. It does turn out, though, that the dead lady was a wicked witch, meaning that most of the folks over in Ozfest are quite delighted. The happy list does not include the dead gal's sister, however, a familiar-looking face that looks a bit like Ms. Gulch had a child with the Jolly Green Giant. This angry gal turns out to be a wicked witch herself, and that's not such great news for Dorothy and Toto. Fearing for their lives, our heroes get advice from a different witch, who ships them off to find the Wizard of Oz to ask for assistance. She also includes some highly practical shoes for going on a long walk, ruby heels, magically embezzled from the dead witch. The sing-along journey down the yellow brick interstate is a long one, but after navigating through 3 construction zones, plus a couple assassination attempts, Dorothy, along with the needy Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion she meets along the way, get their audience with the wizard. It goes not well. He tells them he will not help until they return with a shrubbery. Nice one, not too expensive. Oh, and also the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West. The quest thus goes on, and let's just say that Dorothy and the Dominoes are not the world's most talented broom hunters. Dorothy gets herself captured by the slipper-hunting witch, and the rest of the crew's hostage retrieval attempt goes about as well as Belle's rescue mission in Beauty and the Beast, if Lumiere had also lit Belle on fire in the process. In this case, it's the Scarecrow who gets set ablaze, but Dorothy's Bucket Brigade spills its dousing dose right on the witch, who conveniently instantly melts. Might be time for some pH testing on the castle well there. Also, good work by the witch to just conveniently leave a bucket of water nearby when attempting assassination by immolation. Dorothy and her friends take the witch's broom back to the wizard, who rewards them by saying, "Come back tomorrow." Seriously, this is either going to be a very big letdown or a very long movie. But then, Toto's yappy dog roots resurface, and he goes straight for the drapes that are oddly configured like the world's weirdest shower curtain over on the side of the room. Taking a bite, Toto exposes a man frantically spinning dials, making noise, and yelling at the crowd. Basically, the Wizard of Oz turns out to be the world's first Las Vegas beach club DJ, just without the giant set of headphones. Now, the crew is not pleased to learn that the wizard is a total fraud, and they make their plans to file a formal complaint with the Better Wizness Bureau. But it turns out his wizziness has other plans. Unable to deliver a brain, courage, and a heart, the wizard instead offers some items that seem suspiciously like perks he might have received in a PBS pledge drive. And at the $250 level, this gorgeous medal! He also offers Dottie a balloon ride back to Kansas, which seems like something he'd be highly qualified to do. Dorothy indicates she'll take the bus. Actually, of course, she travels by slippers, which she learns how to use when the Good Witch conveniently floats back by to drop off the instruction manual. Back to Kansas she goes, arriving just in time to see Auntie M and Uncle Henry, and to watch the Jayhawks lose to a 14 seed. As usual. With all these special episodes we've done lately, I kind of feel like we've gotten behind on all the important news in the fairy tale world. I mean, we totally missed the run-up in the price of lumber, but I'm guessing Pinocchio is being extra careful if he drives by a construction site right now. Regardless, let's see if we can catch up with a check of the headlines. Cow that jumped over moon books movie deal will star in 50 Shades of Hay. Disney announces new LastPass for people who just like standing in line. And in more Disney Parks news, this shocking story is just in off the newswire. Dumbo stuns world, signs with Busch Gardens as free agent. Not since LeBron James joined the Miami Heat has a free agent signing garnered as much attention as the news out of the theme park world today. Ending months of speculation, legendary flying elephant Dumbo has a new employer this morning, stunning experts by announcing that he'll be taking his talents to Tampa Bay and signing with Busch Gardens. It was well known that Dumbo would look for a new home when his Disney contract expired after the 2020 season, having long bristled at sharing top billing with Aladdin in the Flying in Circles department. Most analysts, however, expected Dumbo to land across town at Universal Studios, where he could join longtime friends King Kong and the Cat in the Hat. Terms of the Busch Gardens deal were not released, but are believed to be among the richest in theme park history. Dumbo's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, had regularly stated that his client would not accept less than, quote, Peter Pan money, and CNBC's Darren Revell estimated the deal could reach as high as $26 million with peanut incentives. As for Dumbo himself, he claimed the money was only a secondary concern and said the real selling point was Busch Gardens' willingness to let him try flying counterclockwise. And yes, for the Disney diehards out there, I do know they have two spinners now that go both directions. That's just artistic license for the writers in our flying elephant jokes department. That brings us to a break. Let's find out what's coming up in the music world this summer.
It's the musical event of the summer, and it will be here before you know it. Who needs Bonnaroo or Burning Man when you can plant your magic beans at the biggest fairy tale music festival in town, Frogapalooza? Your prince might already be playing a drunken game of leapfrog between the motorhomes, as our rockin' lineup is just days away from lighting the Mr. Toad Auto Collision Repair main stage on fire. Don't miss the opener Friday night as little Tommy Tucker returns to sing for his supper for the first time since 2017. And that's just the beginning. We know you're going to be way too tired Saturday morning for the whistle and work demonstration from the Seven Dwarfs, but by Saturday night, you'll be ready to rally and bust out the glow sticks with Frogapalooza's favorite funk band, the Bremerton Musicians. The party just keeps going on Sunday as Dinah rolls in on the old railroad to twang things up, strumming on the old banjo. Then it all comes to a peak Sunday night as headliner Ariel brings her voice straight from the sea to make Frogapalooza a part of her world. Don't waste your money at the Big Bad Wolf's competing Mouth by Mouth West Festival. Load up the pickup, the camper, or even the pumpkin and come party with us in Sherwood Forest. It's Frogapalooza. Don't miss it.
Thanks again to our good friend Ben Smith from Woodward Sports and their Origins podcast, which is great if you haven't checked it out. All kinds of fun stuff if you're a sports fan. Be sure to give it a listen if you're looking for some sports stories you haven't heard before. It's Origins from Woodward Sports, everywhere that you'd expect to find podcasts. All right, now back to the business at hand with more news. Billy Goat's Gruff install Easy Pass Lane on Troll Bridge. Windex partners with Cinderella for streakless shoeshine product. And in the latest from our business department, Duo to open new life coaching service. The ribbons have been cut and the Better Business Bureau is ready for the complaints as two famed celebrities are ready to throw the world of no-excuses life coaching straight into the trash can. Oscar the Grouch and Grumpy announced yesterday that they're teaming up to open Feeling Fooey, which they bill as the world's first honest life coaching service. "Listen, you're having a piece of crap day, aren't you?" Grumpy asked a reporter. "Guess what? I don't give two rips. That'll be $50. The all-tough-luff business is the culmination of a new friendship between the two, which followed a chance meeting at their favorite business establishment, the Department of Motor Vehicles. "He glared at me and I told him to scram," Oscar said. "It was true mutual loathing." Oscar added that he feels uniquely qualified for the job, pointing out that he's been leading the No Excuses movement for decades. "Just look at my initials. I'm the OG of the put-down. Now beat it," he said. He then stormed back down his trash can to complete the final steps before opening, namely permanently disconnecting the phone line and purchasing a large amount of monogrammed merchandise prominently featuring the letter F. Green eggs and ham. So first of all, it is not lost on me that I'm about to put 500 words or so into discussing green eggs and ham, which Dr. Seuss wrote on a bet with his publisher that he couldn't write a book using 50 words. Guessing there's some English majors out there who wish Tolstoy had used this publisher. And also, for the record, this is not the Dr. Seuss book I know the best. That would actually be the tongue twisters of O Say Can You Say. And I say this because apparently I tried to recite those tongue twisters while under anesthesia having my wisdom teeth pulled. That's a story for another day, but just keep that in mind. So to set the scene, let's think back to the last time you got the really pushy server at a restaurant. You know the one I'm talking about, the guy who thinks you should try the mystery brisket with broccoli and Brussels sprouts, and if you don't, he's definitely not bringing you a dessert menu, and oh, by the way, your car is being towed. Well, I'm here to tell you that that person cannot hold a candle in the pushiness department to Sam I Am from Green Eggs and Ham. Now, we've actually got two characters here. Sam I Am, who we mentioned, who spends about five pages making sure we know his name. And then another dude who never tells us what he's called, so we'll just go with Sam I Am Not. We start with Sam I Am on a quest, and that quest, his one goal in life, is to have Sam I Am Not try some green eggs and ham. As to exactly where these green eggs and ham are coming from, that's not totally clear. I personally have run across some oddly green foods in my day, but that's usually because they were in the back of the fridge after I lost them behind the tub of cottage cheese for a while. But salmonella concerns aside, Sam I Am is quite sure everyone should try his green cuisine. Sam I Am Not, meanwhile, is quite sure he would prefer not to eat anything green, and in fact that he'd like the mac and cheese and chicken nuggets off the kids' menu. Now, most folks in Sam I Am's shoes would just abandon their pitch at this point. But Sam I Am is resilient. He doubles down and with the tenacity of an encyclopedia salesman, tries offering a series of enticements to make the green eggs and ham more palatable. Now, of course, it's not like he's bringing over a sugar bowl or some ketchup packets. No. His plan is that the green eggs and ham would be most delicious if tried in a box with a fox, in the rain, on a train, under a bus with Uncle Gus, in a bath with a giraffe, and so on. Eventually, Sam I Am Not is much more worried about getting hearing damage from listening to all this than he is worried about the eventual bill for carpet cleaning when he pukes the stuff all over his rug, so he agrees to try the fare. Of course, to the delight of every grandmother who has rained terror on a youngster for not eating their veggies, Sam I Am Not pronounces the green eggs and ham to be delicious. And do we believe him? Yeah, no. I once saw an episode of Iron Chef where the judges claimed to like the trout ice cream, and even that was more convincing than this 5-star green eggs and ham endorsement. You do whatever you want, Sam I Am Not, but I'm sticking with what you told Sam I Am in the early pages. Not in a car, not in a bar, not in my kitchen, stop with your itching. I do not like green eggs and ham. Maybe your dog will, Sam I Am.
Boy Blue.
Now I'm little
Miss Moffat, and you're listening to Not Your Mother's Goose. I just hope you don't have to eat any curds and whey. Yucky ducky!
The Scoop on Sheriffs. A while back, we had a discussion of all the shepherds in the fantasy world. Today, we're going to do the same thing, except with fictional sheriffs. If you go beyond fairy tales and nursery rhymes, you get a whole host of characters with varying degrees of competency, ranging from Andy Taylor and Barney Fife's hardcore policing of Mayberry, all the way to that guy Tom Bosley played on Murder, She Wrote, who couldn't seem to figure out that Cabot Cove, Maine sure had a hell of a lot of murders, and dang if Jessica Fletcher wasn't around for every one of them. At the end of the day, though, it really all comes down to two. Captain Uptight, Sheriff Woody from Toy Story, and Sergeant Clueless, the Sheriff of Nottingham. I'm not quite sure where Woody is the sheriff, but we do know that he has major issues with snakes in his boots and generally operates at the stress level of CNBC's Jim Cramer telling a caller that it might be time to sell their Blockbuster Video stock. As for Woody's skills as a crime fighter, it's frankly tough for me to envision him being a whole lot more effective at rounding up bad guys than Inspector Gadget was at tracking down Dr. Claw. Better hope he's got a smart niece. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got the Sheriff of Nottingham, who possesses that rare combination of corruption and total incompetence that you generally only see in higher levels of government, and from that random guy at every Olympics who manages to finish 38th in the prelims and fail a doping test. Now, there have been many different depictions of this sheriff through time, but we're going to rely, of course, on the Disney version, where he's portrayed as a hapless wolf with a wardrobe best described as Chuck E. Cheese meets Elton John. His main skill is extracting money from the good British folks, and he may have been the inspiration for the Beatles song Taxman. One for you, 19 for me, indeed. Fortunately for the Nottinghamers, the sheriff is not exactly good at his job, and Robin Hood runs him ragged and eventually ships him out to the Royal Rock Pile to do some work better suited for Fred Flintstone. So the only question that remains here is, what if we could get these two working together? If you could bring in Woody's uppityness and have him losing his marbles over Mr. Nottingham's dirty tricks, I think you got a series that CBS would stream on Paramount Plus in a heartbeat. We'll call it Law & Order FVU, the Fashion Victims Unit. Somebody get Dick Wolf on this ASAP. All right, as we get ready to wrap things up on another show, the only thing left to do is crank up Rapunzel's jukebox and spin up a song. It's our first repeat entry from a solo artist, and if you wagered on Dion in your office pool, you are the big winner. You know, we did Tony D'Amico's Prince Charming version of The Wanderer back in the beginning, and now Andrew Mitchell is ready to tackle Runaround Sue for us. So put yourself in the realm of the tortoise, and especially the hare, who's here to give you some important racing tips. It's Andrew Mitchell with Run Around You.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a race that I once blew. I called him out and laid it down. Went off to race all over town.
Hey, hey,
go, go! Go, go, oh, go, ba, 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 go, go. Yeah, well, I was leading from the very start. It wasn't long before we were miles apart. But listen, people, if you take a snooze, well, the tortoise, he's gonna run around you. Yeah, I was out in front, was crushing the race. I figured that I could just nap here in place, but I guess it's best not to sleep till it's through. Oh, the tortoise, he's gonna run around you. Yeah, go, 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 go. He's out here covering ground. Yeah, he's plotting, but he gets around. Cause slow and steady wins the prize. And we ain't doing jazzercise is the moral and the story from that hare who knows. I nodded off and I took a doze. Clear out the path, cause he's coming through that old tortoise. He's gonna run around you, don't mess around. Yeah, don't just give it a whirl. If you sit there like glue, he'll be beating you. He's out in covering ground. Yeah, he's plotting, but he gets around. And slow and steady wins the prize. Me ain't doing jazzercise. Here's the moral and the story from that hare who knows. I nodded off and I took a doze. Clear out the path, cause he's coming through that old tortoise. He's gonna run around you, yeah. Go, go. Go, go.
Run Around You from Andrew Mitchell on Rapunzel's Jukebox here on Not Your Mother's Goose. I don't know if we can get any more Dion songs into the pipeline. I suppose there's an aerial version of Teenager in Love out there, though I'm not sure you'd actually change any of the lyrics. That's going to be it for today's show. Come back next time when we'll spur some spaghetti sales by reviewing Lady and the Tramp, find out about Jack B. Nimble's new Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas, and take a look to find out what our fairy tale friends are buying and selling online. If anybody out there has a load of straw they're looking to get rid of, it looks like Rumpelstiltskin is in the market. Remember, you can still get signed up for the Goose Droppings newsletter and have a chance to win our latest drawing for the Not Your Mother's Goose book, coloring book, and some other fun stuff. And of course, you can always get your own. All of that info is available at notyourmothersgoose.com. That'll do it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Topher Goggin. The goose is loose. Come back and join me again soon on Not Your Mother's Goose. And just in case you thought I'd get these recordings right on the first try, I present you with the following. All right, now back to the business at hand with more news. Windex partners with Cinderella for streakless shoe shine. Windex partners with Cinderella for streakless shoe shine. Windex partners. I will get this. Windex partners with Cinderella for streakless shoe shine. One more time. Windex partners with Cinderella for streakless shoe shine product. And in the latest... Sorry.
Dart Frog.